Okay, staff report. Let's start with Gail.
I am proud to introduce our new member services manager, Alexis Cox, started last week. She just waved to you over there. And I also wanted to give you an update on the classification and compensation study. CICERA staff has completed all of the position description questionnaires and have hand them over to COF. COF is going to be on site for the next few days to do on-site interviews with the folks, so that process is swiftly moving along as projected, and we hope to have the plan is to have something back to the board the end of November, so we'll see how that goes. And if anyone could let me know separately if they're not going to be attending the two-day seminar next week, I'd appreciate it. That's all I had.
Okay, Christina?
We had a kickoff meeting with ADP, so we're starting to set up our payroll and timekeeping system, and we're working through our pay codes currently that we use and coming up with new pay codes. October 7th, the MOU and the Unrepresented Employees Resolution reflecting the agreed upon benefit changes will be coming to the board for adoption. And I was notified that possible buyers will be touring the building.
Okay. Kurt?
Hi.
Tim?
Quick update on on-sites. Monday, Chi-Chi, I, and Jerry Tellis went over to Mill Valley to do the on-site with Energy Investor Funds. So that's successfully completed, and we're in the contracting phase there. Just a reminder that right after the workshop next week on October 1st, we'll be down in Orange County, so for the Carpenter annual meeting, and doing the pathway on-site right before Carpenter. So if they go into Carpenter, if they want to join the pathway, let me know. And then, as I mentioned, the Ether and Singular Gulf on-sites will be that first full week in October. And just a quick reminder that next week's two-day workshop is over at the Pleasant Hill Community Center.
Why did we move it off-site?
Change the tone, really just, you know, make it a workshop.
Get out of here.
Get you out of your normal zone, get you discussing bigger, more complex topics in a different environment.
They have the high rope course set up over there.
Parallel bars, lake jump.
Police station's right next door if it gets out of hand.
Is there a reason you told us to wear old clothes?
I mean, is there kind of like paint or anything involved? No, okay, good.
You told us to wear old clothes.
I think he's being facetious.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure hope he is.
I have no new clothes, actually.
I just need to know, did I miss something?
No.
He's joking
about old clothes.
Because I do miss things.
That was intended to be humorous.
Boy. Wear your painting clothes.
You ever perked up on that one?
Team building exercises.
Business casual next week.
Okay. You can loosen your tie a little
Jeff,
more.
I think you're our outside professional.
None of my shirts fit anymore anyway. So
if you don't know me, my name's Jeff Rieger. I'm here for Harvey today.
Trustees. Jerry.
I would like to say that the roundtable that we attended last week, I found fascinating. And I think Scott, I'm not just blowing smoke here, Scott did a really excellent job of putting the panel together. It wasn't a full day thing, but there was a lot crammed into a very short period of time. One of the speakers was from Vanguard, and very interesting. If I got the numbers right, they run about $3 trillion, you know, and only about $2 trillion of that is passive, which is interesting. And they use other managers to run another $1 trillion worth of their assets on a strictly managed basis, which is pretty interesting. And he had lots of fascinating things to say, some of which will, you know, what I got out of the due diligence that we do and the site visits that we do is that they're largely window dressing. And that he did say that in one of their managers that they selected, it took them 10 years to make the decision to select them. So that's due diligence.
Yeah, I thought that was an outlier story.
Yeah, I would think so too. But he said it.
Pretty extraordinary.
It was pretty extraordinary. And he actually said he had an interesting comment. He said he really didn't have a bias towards passive funds, but that he just wanted to wanted people to, I wrote it down, I want to make sure I got it right, just pay less for what you get, which I thought was interesting. Make the most of what you're getting. It's not necessarily a bias towards toward passive, and I thought it was interesting that my sense of Vanguard was that it's largely passive, but
correct,
it's two-thirds passive. And so he was a very interesting speaker, and the CalPERS CFO was interesting too. The guy in lunchtime was, you know, he was, wasn't quite up to knowing what his audience should be expecting, but it was a really good time, well spent. Good, nice job by Scott.
Yeah. I would echo that. I sent him an email. It's probably the best. I saw Chuck Reed speak at one. He was good, but overall, it was the best I've attended. Ornstein was really good.
Yeah, I forgot to mention.
He talked about the whole Nowicki case, and I think he really captured everybody's attention.
He talked a lot about AB 197 and 342 and his and his bird dog in that, which was really interesting.
He was actually, I mean, he's a guy, I'm not just saying this, but he's clearly up on his subject. He's done his homework. But he was very interested in going through what had led up to Nowicki and Mr. Nowicki, and basically suggesting how it ended up where it was. He said that one quote was that the Cicera board had gotten a little religion. Damning with faint praise, but there it was. And, so after Gabe was done with him, he has more religion now, or we have more religion.
Well, I told him that he tried to almost take credit for it, and I said no.
Yeah, that's right. Almost. He takes credit for it every time. But it was interesting because some of the audience questions I thought were quite telling.
Yes.
Because one of the audience or attendee members is either currently a safety member or was a safety member, but his position was not unusual in that his question suggested to me that it really hasn't, the pension board, no matter where it is, has nothing to do with whatever the negotiated benefits are. And if the MOU says that something is a covered benefit or benefit of the MOU, it should be pensionable, period.
Scott explained it very well, I don't know.
Yeah.
So. He understood after you told him.
I'm not sure he necessarily agreed.
Yeah, we had an interesting exchange on that, the role of the board was, right? Yeah.
So it was a smaller group. I mean, it's maybe 20 people or something. I don't know how.
23 attendees. But keep in mind, for those of us who were at the June roundtable, there were only nine.
Yeah.
Nine full trustees who came.
But I would think if word gets out about how well that went, that you'll get more. And I have no idea how the lawyer went, or the attorney went, because I saw Karen there. So I don't know what feedback you got on that one.
I haven't gotten any feedback on that one yet. So, I mean, I talked to Karen while she was there, but I didn't get any feedback yet about how that went.
This is for inside council and boards?
I believe so. Yes. I mean, I don't know what the list of attendees was, but
I asked her, and she said,
"How'd your cyber attack presentation go?"
Interesting. I thought my comment to Gabe and Jerry was that I thought he spent maybe a little too much time on mainstream fraud and investigative techniques, which was no less interesting for Gabe, it's old hat, right? Because, you know, for anybody who's a sworn peace officer who's there, who might have a safety background, they probably knew a lot of what he was talking about. But you know, the latter piece about how and under what circumstances and maybe within your own employment group you can have a cyber fraud invasion, and how you never really know where it's going to come from or who it might be, at least on the inside, it was kind of interesting. I suspect we'll do it again with James Poo, probably at the next round table. James he's from Lucera, and has, I think, a more focused.
He was good. Yeah, he was good at Sackers.
Line of discussion on a lot of cyber fraud. We covered a lot of general fraud, and only in the latter portion, cyber fraud. And I thought, well, what I told Les afterwards was, you know, it's important to focus to the audience, because you got a bunch of pension trustees sitting around. These aren't traditional employers or you know, large firm, small firm makeup. It's like these are big systems that have common questions about how to manage employees, how to manage systems, how to control access points. So we move a lot of money, right? We move a boatload of money. There's a payroll going in. There's all, you know, any number of transactions. So those are my, you know, key points for him about maybe targeting a little bit more.
And
he
did say it was interesting. He went through a long list of stuff, and I was not in a position to be able to say whether or not we had all of these checkpoints, but the kernel for the presentation for him that I got out was when he was talking about these cash transactions,
he was suggesting, among other things, dedicated computers for cash transactions.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether or not yes or no, but or whether or not we do that, but he was first on his list. Biometric passwords for the employees. I'm not certain we do that, but something tells me we don't.
Retina fingerprint.
Daily three-way account reconciliations. Three people involved in account reconciliations. Robust internal controls, which I hope we have. Dual authorizations of outgoing and validation of acceptance of incoming funds and management of voided check requests. I don't know what our policy is, but he went through quite a long list of stuff that seemed to be, if not specifically applicable to us, more applicable than some of the other comments he had about basically taking money out of the till. But it was a lot of stuff involving large cash transactions, which I'm, you know, we're clearly involved in a lot. So,
can you give a scenario with his brother's wife? Something in a small town. I forget.
It was in Idaho, right, or wherever.
Like over $1 million working at a bank, and so you're just saying it could be anybody. Yeah. You know, be your CIO, all you know.
Ooh.
CIO actually doesn't touch any cash.
I know. Yeah. But I think that would suggest he was giving a lot of examples of people that you would never suspect.
Yeah.
I think that was a big part of what he.
And you were doing fine in your timeline until he started to speak, and then the timeline.
Yeah, I lost control.
Well, my only critique was that.
It wasn't for want of trying to get him to focus and kind of get through it. Yeah, he got us off the timeline, and I owe a debt of gratitude to Cheryl Eason, who was the CFO of CalPERS, who came from Sacramento, right, who got on at, what, about 1:10, 1:15? I left there at 3:30. There's nothing like the Sunol grade at 3:30.
It wasn't much better half an hour earlier.
I'm sure not. Anyway, so I appreciate the comments. Yeah. I'm glad you guys summarized it because I thought it was a successful roundtable. We also tried to move the trustee true roundtable discussion. Well, we didn't try. We did. We moved it to first rather than what typically happens for those of you who've been there is they're set at 2:00 or 2:15. It's like final comments, trustee exchange, and everybody's on their thing trying to change their flights and trying to get out the door. You got roller bags packed against the back wall, and people start heading for the exit. So we wanted to have the trustee exchange first. It took a little bit. Had to prime the pump a little bit. People had to draw them out a little bit, right? You had the coffee in a roll. You got to get them talking, but. It was interesting when they started. When you start exchanging experience, you realize how different it is around the state. Right? Yeah. It's very, very, very telling.
I may have missed this, but I thought there was considerable interest in what Contra Costa had done with regard to that most recent case.
Yes.
Because I think they were all trying to figure out whether they should be doing it, how they might handle it, whatever. But it was they were interested.
There were several that came up to me in sidebars, and I think it got said during the general discussion that they had no idea what CERL provides. They had no idea what their investigative role and responsibility was, or duty, or access to that.
Or if they even had one.
Yeah, or if they even had one, exactly. They had no idea. So that was, if nothing else, you raised the consciousness a little bit, you know, across the board. It's good.
It was.
And to Jerry's point, it is accounting that moves the cash. Investments doesn't move cash. And we do have a dual authorization.
All right. For biometric?
Withdrawals.
Separate computer?
No biometric, so.
And then you guys go to Plate and Vine at 3 o'clock and do the reconciliation?
Yeah.
No, we do not.
Just kidding.
How much cash do we have going out? Do we have people who show up requesting cash disbursements?
You mean like cash?
We weren't talking about cash.
Cash.
I'm talking about cash.
Okay.
Yeah, wired funds.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Wired. Okay. I thought you were talking about cash because unfortunately I serve on the board for County Connection.
Yeah.
And we have had cash that we've had significant loss.
I think most of the petty cash is actually in
the office.
We have
a very small petty cash fund.
That's what I assume. That's why I was trying to figure
like
out.
That's like cash. That's okay.
And for the record, these are the last nice things I'm ever going to say about you, Scott.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Do you got the date for the next one yet?
No, and I asked Allison Corley for that, and they were. It's she thought it was going to be the second or third week in February, but she was going to let me know.
Our congratulations in order.
I tried that. I tried moving it to
Oakland. You tried San Francisco.
Default was San Francisco. That was not the default. That was my second choice.
That's what we sometimes do, but I don't know why we don't feel open because a lot of people are convenient for the Napa people and the blind people.
Right.
Buchanan Field?
Well, then you see you guys from down south that say the same thing.
Our congratulations in order for the new chairman permanent of the CalPERS programs.
Oh.
Oh, no.
My deal was with Dan McAllister, who's the treasurer tax collector of San Diego, is that I'll primarily do this one. He helped, and then we're going to roll reverse, and we volunteered, and he's going to be the primary on the next one. There's some thought of trying to move it to San Diego or Orange County. His concern was the relatively sparse attendance, none from OC, right, because we were able to talk about them when they weren't there, and one from San Diego, well, two from San Diego. His thought is, the conundrum of Burbank is, while it's convenient to Burbank Airport, Bob Hope, for those of us who use that airport regularly, it's remarkably inconvenient for anybody in Southern California who's coming north on the 5 or any one of those, arteries into LA. They're not going to do it.
Just like San Jose for us.
Exactly, just like San Jose for us.
No, there's a lot of convenient places to meet near John Wayne, aren't there?
Right, so Irvine, Irvine or San Diego were looming to be the likely potential choices for that. And I'm told that the CalPERS board is taking up that particular request and will let us know. So we'll find out.
Ontario is so beautiful, too.
Okay, any further trustee comments?
I'll point out there are new polo shirts. Anybody wants one? Again, $16.
They're not 16. They're less than that. Nice Gabe.
And what sizes do they come in?
Multiple.
Multiple.
These are Cicera shirts?
Yes. I think I only need one, but I don't need multiple.
Well, where can we wear them?
I go to the NC for safety, and it's very casual. So I thought everybody's pretty much wearing jeans.
I didn't know. Do we have an online store, too? Is that part of the new website?
We should have all bought one to wear to our retreat next week.
Yes, actually.
And how come Gabe's the only one that knows about it?
How does he?
Is there a reason for this?
I came by the office today and saw some people wearing them, so I inquired, and they said, yeah.
Okay.
You got a box back there somewhere?
The petty cash.
Follow Christina after the
petty cash one.
Look for multiple sizes to fit me. Several sewed together.
Anyone who's interested, just let me know.
Yeah, I'm interested.
They're available for purchase.
Oh,
how much are they? Like 11 or 12?
1282.
Is that marked up?
1282.
Wow.
It's not marked up.
It's not marked up.
Yeah.
Where are that
shipping and the embroidered logo.
Wow.
And they're actually a decent.
Buying them? I guess because you buy them in bulk.
It's not too thin or anything. It's kind of a nice shirt.
Not see through or anything. That's.
Yeah. I'm going to check this out.
I think the public would insist on me. Oh, jeez, my eyes.
Liability issue.
That's nice.
My eyes. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
You open his shirt.
All in favor.
I'm going to open his shirt.
Aye.
I feel it.
What kind of book?